young people going to camp, having good times with all that, and the songs they sing and everything. We got a few of them that we work with out this way. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, true and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. It's good to have that song in mind and be the person who is a worshiper of God always, and a sanctuary living within it is the idea of that good song that's sung at camp. The idea is out. What about the song sung for young people particularly, and they go through various antics of their hands and everything? That's all right to do too. In the beginning God made the sea and the forest filled with trees, made the mountains up so high, and at the top he placed the sky. His fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much he cared. In the middle he had some fun, and he made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus, hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Hip, 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 hippopotamus, hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Our vacation Bible school will be at the same time we have our gospel meeting again this year. We'll come in about 45 minutes before the time to start at 7:30. We'll come in about a quarter till 7. We'll sing a few songs together. We'll go to class and have emphasis made about some biblical heroes this year. And it'll be a good time for us all to enjoy a lot of vacation Bible school times at a time that you could come into church services anyway, and you'll be right in town. And the baseball games will be kind of closed out, and the soccer games won't yet begin, and it won't be a conflict for us. And we'll have a good vacation Bible school on the 21st through the 25th of time. I have gone this particular month to the vast topics that are very important for us. And today there's a topic in the Bible, of course, that's very important to us on this particular day and time. It's the idea of fatherhood, of course, around the countryside. And I like not to conflict with those particular ideas that are so relevant to people's lives. And to look at Jesus as he came to this earth and what he said in regard to his Heavenly Father, how he loved his Heavenly Father's will and way. A passage that we have used a lot in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, emphasized the role of the Father to Jesus. He said, "He that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that will judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And then he went on to say, "For the words I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father gave me these words and commandment that I now deliver to you." The Father's words were the words that he represented. The Father's will was the will to being done. In John 17, he said, "Father, I have done what thou hast sent me to do." He wanted to do the Father's will and be the person that the Father wished him to be. The Heavenly Father wanted this to be done. And in Hebrews chapter 1, reference is made back to the Father, back to his Son. How that he looked at him and he said, "Thou hast a name now that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess Christ to the glory of God." Indeed, we thank him for what he has done and what he came to do in representing the cause of the Heavenly Father. When we think about the relationship that God has to people in the world in which we live, we think of the great prophets of God in the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament of our Bible. We realize that there was a man named Elijah who was a fiery prophet, one who went off into heaven in a chariot. He was one of two listed that did not die physically on this earth, but was absorbed into the sky, into the clouds, and was there to meet the Lord in the heavenly realm. In this regard, we find him working in 1 Kings chapter 17. We find him working with a widow of Zarephath. She has but a little oil in a basin. She has but a little flour in a pan. But he asked of her something of which she gave to him, because of his great need. And because of this, God rewarded her with never running out of the oil and never running out of the flour. The wonderful blessings of God for people's lives who will trust in good things and good ways and trust in God to bless them in life. She had noted that they only had this remaining, and her thoughts were that we'll eat this and then we will die. But they did not die. They were blessed of God for having the thought in their minds of care for this prophet of God, Elijah. Think about the relationship that God has for you and me today. The idea of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. In Acts 4, in verse 12, we read there is salvation in none other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Father wants to save people through His Son. And the idea of the Father's love for us is great and wonderful. Think about the relationship that the Father had regarding those apostles of the Lord. You remember that the Father was one who compelled them to realize that they needed to follow His Son, Jesus Christ. He was a part of their heart and their lives. Jesus now was put to death by those who were wicked and those who were rebellious of His people. As a result of that being buried away in that tomb, He was there and was put there at their will and their whim. But it is the case that in Romans chapter 8 we read, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He shall also resurrect your mortal bodies. Our mortal bodies, yes, we're in our mortal body today. We have it here in our lives. We think about the inner man and the spirituality of the inner man that God wants us to have and to grow, and how this inner man can grow day by day, improving as we live for the Lord from day to day. But we are living this life by which we have challenges and we have struggles. As we age in life, I'm finding more struggles that we have with our knees, our hips, our joints, one thing and another that takes place just suddenly from one night to the next morning, from one morning to the next evening, from one day to the next. There are challenges that take place. But these challenges that take place, we look unto God and we look unto the things He's left here on earth that's been discovered by mankind. Some various medications of sorts that we can take that will make a difference with how we feel and how we can improve in life. And we thank God for this. We thank God for the availability of those type of things to help our daily walk of life. Apostle Paul addressed Timothy in this regard. And in 1 Timothy 5 and 24, he says, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmity. Timothy undoubtedly had some difficulty. Difficulty in digestion, difficulty in his stomach, difficulty in something else in life. Thy often distresses. But do this. He did not suggest to him to become a drunkard. He did not suggest to him to become one who was alcoholic. But he did suggest to him a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Indeed, the Heavenly Father cared about it. And when He cared about Jesus in this regard of the tomb, He sent the Holy Spirit to call Him back to life. When Mary arrived at the tomb that early morning, she noted that the stone holding the tomb sealed was rolled away. An angel of God was there. She peered in to see that the Savior was gone. Only thing left there would be grave clothes that were laid off to the side. The idea that He was gone somewhat puzzled her. The angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen as He said and goes before you. You'll see Him again. You'll meet Him again. You'll see Him in another place. But He is now yet alive." In Mark chapter 16, we read the account of where Mary comes back to the apostles of Jesus Christ. They're all meeting and gathering. They all think that they may be next on the list for those who will be crucified. They certainly are fearful in their ways. They didn't catch all of the information that Jesus had taught them in their heart. They really did not catch it within their heart. As a result of that, they were fearful about this occasion. When she announced to them, "He is not there in that tomb. He is risen as he said, and he is gone," they thought it was an idle tale. They laughed and scoffed at her about it. They could not believe her words at all. Of course, that was the meeting that they had with the Lord. And as they did that, they realized she had told them the absolute truth. That tomb is still empty today. It is still the only one of history and time that is still empty today. Oh yes, it was occupied 3 days and nights. He said, "I'll be in the heart of the earth, and then the Heavenly Father's will would be done. He would come forth." That stone that was rolled away, historians tell us that that stone was made up of some of the basic rock that was hewn out of that in order to get into the hub of that tomb that was being excavated. But they excavated this stone first as they went around that stone, etching it out so that it would be rolled away. It may weigh a ton or 2 tons of weight. It was not something easily moved. Once moved into place, it was in such a way there to seal that tomb from animals coming, or from, in this instance, the apostles of the Lord coming and stealing his body away and pretending that he was resurrected. Can you imagine that being really a case? When they were going to be punished severely, they were going to be beaten, they were going to be tortured, and they would not take it back. He was raised from the dead. He is alive again, and we serve him as we go through this life. His Father called him back to life. He believed that as he went into that tomb. He was in the seal of death, but an angel rolled that stone back away. The Father loves us and cares about us, and he cared about his Son. And he cared about his Son's teaching. When you and I follow what he says today in our daily walk of life, we'll be the people that God has called upon us to be. Just simply Christians. As we find ourselves in Acts 11 and verse 26, we read where the brethren were called Christians first at Antioch. The disciples were called. They were learners of the Lord and learners of his way. And as a result of that, they will call Christ-like or Christ's followers thereafter. If we can be of help to you today or any other day of the week, things are ready for you. Clothing is provided here for you. You can be baptized into Christ and begin to walk that new walk of life that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 6. I'll close the lesson today in this regard about the Father's will for our lives as we talk about what these people were doing as they live their life. In Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, we read where this is happening. He said, "But God be thanked, God the Father be thanked, that whereas you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants or enslaved unto righteousness." When we find ourselves becoming the servants of right doing, we'll choose to say the right kind of words of truth around us. We'll serve to do the right kind of deeds around us to people there. We'll serve to be the right kind of neighbor for the neighbors. We'll serve to be the right kind of fathers for the family. We'll serve to be the right kind of mothers for the family. We'll serve to be the right kind of children for the family. Because righteousness is our thought. Not about me and what I want to be and what I want to do, but about everybody in the family. That's one of the great lessons to be taught and one of the great lessons to be practiced and one of the great helps of life for everybody in America, to have this understanding of how to live as the Father in heaven has directed us in His holy word. What a blessing. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, would you come forward today, right now, and do something about that as we stand and as we sing together. When we walk with camp. If you're registering for a fourth session coming up, we have probably 35 spaces remaining in that particular week, and we're now 3 weeks away from it. So get on the internet and get through the idea of that and be a part of it with us. We'll have the fireworks show this year on Thursday night, and so I hope that you can come out and be a part of that on campus. There's nothing quite like being there on campus and seeing those sky boomers go up off that hillside. That's the second highest hillside in Panola County. And people, 6,000 of them, were told on the roads in their cars watching that to occur. And that'll be on that Thursday night, July 4th, of the camp week of session 4. God bless you in every good way, and have a good time from camp, and now practice at home the things that you learned there at camp. Okay? For good. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you tonight, Pop. In this world,